Good morning. Today's daf in Megillah Chav Beis. We're in Chav Aleph Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud, and we're trying to figure out laning. It's rather remarkable and coincidental that the Gemara that we're going to do today is going to make an attempt to try to figure out how to lane on Rosh Chodesh. Now, today is Rosh Chodesh, so you can't get better in terms of coincidence and the daf being just perfectly appropriate for the day that we are having. The Gemara, now, if you davened already, so you can tell me how we're going to break up the laning. But if you haven't davened yet and you're trying to figure out how to do the laning, so this daf will equip you in terms of getting you to shul and being able to lane successfully. It will be a bit of a mystery as the Gemara is attempting to figure out. We're going to hear a little bit later on this morning. One of the Amoraim saying, you know, Zulu Shamati, I really don't know how to break up the laning, which is right quite remarkable. How did he not know? But anyway, but we're good. That's what we're going to learn today. And in the course of doing so, obviously what we're going to be learning is first we're going to learn the rules of how to break up aliyahs. Once we know all the rules of breaking up an aliyah, we're going to see that the Rosh Chodesh laning is going to be a particular challenge with a couple possible solutions. And the Gemara is going to obviously land on one particular solution, which is what we do to this very day. So in terms of the destination where we get to, we all know where we're going to get to. In other words, what the conclusion is going to be, we're all familiar with, but the journey today is what we're going to be focusing on. That's going to be a big part of today's daf. Half of today's daf dedicated to that particular topic. Yesterday we started the third parak of the Masechta, so we're going to be talking about laning and Kriyas HaTorah, and the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So what we learned yesterday, we started a little bit with the Megillah, that the Megillah, you could be reading Omid V'Yoshev, and a couple of other last points regarding the Megillah, Kriyas HaMegillah. But the Mishnah and this parak is transitioning into the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So there is a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. Now to say it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, there's a mitzvah of d'oraisa to learn Torah, but we're talking about the Kriyas HaTorah that's done in shul. Is that a mitzvah d'oraisa? Presumably not. In other words, it's takanut d'rabbanan, that we read the Torah. How often do we read it? So, well, we all know. So we read it on Shabbos. We also read it, sections of it on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos afternoon. And there are other times as well. In the Mishnah yesterday, we learned about the number of aliyahs that are doled out on any given day, almost any given day, meaning there are some missing days in the Mishnah, which we're going to also work on today in terms of trying to discover on a regular weekday. On a Monday, Thursday, or even Shabbos afternoon, there's three aliyahs, and only three aliyahs. On a Chol HaMoed or on a Rosh Chodesh, it's going to be four aliyahs. On a Yontif, it's going to be five aliyahs. On Yom Kippur, it's going to be six aliyahs. On Shabbos, it'll be seven aliyahs. There is no attempt in the Gemara to explain these particular numbers, why these particular numbers. But later, also this morning, we're going to learn that basically as you're sending up in Kedusha, so as with each day having more to it, so therefore, there's going to be an additional aliyah for each of those given days. Notable absence in the Mishnah is what do you do on Tanit Zibor, on a public fast day when we're reading the Torah? Excuse me. How many aliyahs do we have over there? Stay tuned. That's going to be part of the Gemara's discussion. It's absent in the Mishnah. Okay, so that's something that the Gemara is going to have to fill in. Okay, that is a general intro summary of what we've been doing up until now. Let's begin with today's daf. So we are in Pochasim and Vein Mosifim. We are in the Gemara, in Chafalfa Midbeis. And it is 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Amud at the two dots. So you are not allowed to add, you're not allowed to detract. Or let me go in the correct order. You're not allowed to detract and you're not allowed to add. Tana poseach, mevarech lefanevach, osim mevarech la'achareham. Okay, so how does it work? So it works as follows. The first Ola, so he's going to be making the bracha rishona, asher b'chabanu. And then the last Ola, so let's say it's Monday. So the third Aliyah, so he'll make the bracha acharona as he concludes. And that's it. So in other words, over the course of the entire laning, so there are only going to be two brachas. The first Ola will make a bracha at the beginning, and the last Ola will make a bracha at the end. And so what happens when someone calls up for one of the middle aliyahs? So nothing will happen, meaning when I say nothing. In other words, Levi will get up there, and that's it. In other words, there'll be Ola. Now keep in mind, back in the day, it used to be that the Ola was the one who laned. So in other words, when I say nothing happened, it's not true. In other words, when you got called up to the Torah, you read from the Torah. So but of course, what over the years, what was institutionalized is the idea that not everybody knows how to lane, and so therefore, what we'll do is we'll have a designated Baal Kore, okay, the designated hitter rule of Kriyas HaTorah. So so that is the Gemara's description of what it was once upon a time. Vehaina, but nowadays, obviously, the Gemara is talking from its perspective, which means nowadays, meaning Bizman HaGemara, we're not given any details of who made the change, when the change was made. sometime between the tkufa of the Tanaim and the Amoraim, the following was instituted. Va'ina dekula mevarch lefanel la'acharei ha'inu taima detakin rabban and gzera mishum ha'nechlas mishum ha'yotzim. So an institution was made that every Ola now would be making the bracha lefaneha and the bracha le'achareha. And that's because we're concerned about people leaving and people walking in. People leaving early, people walking in late. Now, neither should be done. The Gemara, of course, is not condoning either of those practices. You shouldn't be leaving shul early, especially in the middle of laning. Shouldn't be leaving shul right there. And you shouldn't be coming late to shul late in the middle of laning. But it happens. In other words, the reality, of course, is that happens. And so what's going to happen now is that if, let's say, in the event that somebody left shul early and we go back to our original institution where only the last person would be making a bracha, so what's going to happen now is he's going to be coming to shul. Which one did I just do? I forgot. Doesn't matter. So if the person comes in late, so he never heard the bracha rishona, he'll think to himself, okay, good, there was no bracha rishona. And the person that leaves early, so he's going to think to himself, there's no bracha achrona because he didn't hear it. Okay. Again, it's hard. Well, okay. It's hard to understand the takana based on the people leaving early and the people coming in late. In other words, even for those people, this is the only incident in which they come to shul. They never come to shul on any other occasion. So I have a feeling, it's a suspicion, that the Gemara over here is not giving us the full explanation in terms of why the change was made. Right? This is my general feeling, is that the Gemara gives us a sliver, a small window into the thought process of Chazal, and this is not an exhaustive explanation. That's my general feeling. Okay, because if this were just it, it's difficult. It's definitely difficult to understand. Okay. Yeah. Berashe Chadashim uvechol shamoi korin arba. So now on Rosh Chodesh we're going to be reading for Aliyah. So here we go now. The Gemara now is going to be discussing how to break up the Aliyahs. So again, so here's what we know. We know what the section of the Kriya is going to be for Rosh Chodesh. We're going to be starting at the beginning of the Sedra of Karbanos in Parshas Pinchas, where it talks about the Karban Tamid, immediately followed by the Musaf of Shabbos, immediately followed by the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. So we're reading those three parshios in succession. Now, I'll give you the numbers. In other words, we're going to see it all in the Gemara, but I'll give it to you outside. So that first parsha of the Tamid Shel Shachar, so that's going to be made up of 8 psukim. Then the parsha of Shabbos is going to be made up of 2 psukim, and then the parsha of Rosh Chodesh is going to be made up of 5 psukim. So it's 8, 2, and 7. No, I'll do that again. I'll do it better. It's 8, 2, and 5. I know what I just did there. Right. Okay, fine. It's 8, 2, and 5. I added it up. So so those are the total number of psukim. Now we're not going to be adding any more psukim. Later this morning we'll talk about, you know, if there are more psukim than you can add in order to make the aliyahs, the requisite aliyahs, do so. But over here, the topic is completed, meaning where there's simply nothing more to read, meaning that's appropriate to be read in Rosh Chodesh. Consider I guess you could take out the Shabbos, which is not really appropriate for Rosh Chodesh, but the Tamid Shel Shachar obviously is appropriate, and Rosh Chodesh is obviously appropriate. Anyway, we're not adding more afterwards. Let's just leave it at that. Let's make it nice and simple. So now, that's it. So we have a finite number of psukim that we have, 8, 2, and 5, and the challenge now is going to be is that we have to make 4 aliyahs out of this. So how is that going to work? And that's exactly the problem. The problem is it doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. So, Bamine Ula Bar Rav Mei Rava Parshas Rosh Chodesh Ketzer Karinosa. So, how are we going to do it? So, Tzavas Meni Yisov Emart Olam Es Karbini Lechmi Davin Tamne Psuke. That's Parsha number 1. That's 8 Psukim. And Hechi Navinikre Trei Tlasa Tlasa Psuke Pashaluhu. So, Pashaluhu Trei. So, what are we going to do? So, maybe the first and second Ola will be reading 3 Psukim. Okay, but that's 6, and that leaves us only 2 at the end. And Ein Misharim Beparsha Pachos Mishosha Psukim. So here we're learning a rule together, and that is that I can't leave less than 3 at the end of a parsha. Parsha over here means a section. The first section goes a total of 8 psukim. So if I read 3 and 3, that leaves me 2 at the end, and that's 1 less than what I need to be leaving at the end. I can't leave less than 3 at the end. Okay, so that's no good. Nikre arba arba'a. Okay, so what are we going to do now? So how about this? Take the 8 psukim and break it up into 2 aliyahs. The Gemara says, well, that's no good because pashalu shiva. Uvayama Shabbos, havin trevor, ashechadashen, havi chamisha. That leaves us now two more parshiyos to go, the Shabbos parsha of two psukim, and the Rosh Chodesh parsha of five psukim. And we need two more aliyos. How are you going to do it? So, what am I going to do? The third Ola is going to be reading the two psukim of Shabbos and the one pasuk of Rosh Chodesh. I can't do that. Ein matchilim b'parsha pachus mishosha psukim. Because again, once you're beginning of a parsha, the Ola cannot stop less than three psukim. So the third Ola can't do two and one. So likre tre mehava tlasa mehach. So the Gemara says, okay, so the third Ola have him read the two psukim of Shabbos and three psukim of Rosh Chodesh, but everyone already can see what the problem's going to be. Pashalu tre, that leaves two left. And so therefore, what are we going to do? Now here we get to the part where it fascinates me. Amar lo zulo shamati. I haven't heard. Now again, I'm just fascinated by that line of the Gemara, zulo shamati. I haven't heard, meaning I don't know. You don't know how to read the parshios on Rosh Chodesh, meaning it's something that we do on a monthly basis. It's a really unusual response to the question, considering the fact that this is something that's done on a regular basis. Okay, so I don't know how to make sense of that response, but in other words, it's a dilemma. We could say that, we could just leave it at that. It certainly is a dilemma in terms of what to do. Kayotze bo shamati. However, there is a similar dilemma that occurs elsewhere, and so let's go over a similar dilemma. Now, the similar dilemma is going to sound really familiar to us because we just went through it in the Gemara and Tanis. At the end of the Masechta of Tanis, we're talking about the Ma'amados. So remember, in terms of the breakup of the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, you have the Kohanim breaking up into Mishmaros. Levim also have some sort of system of breaking up. I'm still unsure. Finished it already. I'm still unsure in terms of whether the Levim's breakup is called Mishmaros or not. Doesn't matter. In other words, but they had a system in which they broke up. Now, Yisrael didn't do the Avodah. However, they represented the Jewish people. So what you had is you also had a system of Mishmaros of Klal Yisrael, who basically, some of them went to Yerushalayim, some of them stayed in their hometown. But what they would do is they would represent the rest of the Jewish people in this select group of Yisraelim. So they would do what's called the Ma'amados. Now, on the Ma'amados, so they would be reading from the Sefer Torah that whole week, from Sunday through Friday, plus they would be fasting from Monday to Thursday, right? So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that select group would also be fasting as well. I like I said when we did the Gemara and Tanis, I'm saying it again over here, I imagine they're only fasting during the day, not at night. Four consecutive days to fast is too much. But anyway, regardless, this is what's called the Ma'amados. What would they be reading? So it's actually very simple. Every day they would be reading from Isa Bracious that was connected to that particular day. They want three aliyahs on that day. So on day number one, they would be reading the first two parshios of Maisa Bracious. Parsha number one had five psukim. Parsha number two had two psukim. Okay, so five and two. I'm sorry. Parsha number two had three psukim. Sorry, five and three. Okay, so now, again, it's a similar problem. How are they going to be laning on Sunday when they only have eight psukim to lane from and the first parsha has five psukim? So let's all watch together. So Biyamar Rishon Bracious Ihirakia. Vitanila Bracious Bishnayim. So they would do is they take that first parsha of five psukim, break it up into two aliyahs, Yehirakia Be'echad, and the Yehirakia, which is three psukim, so that's one ola. Okay, so the Yehirakia, we don't have to think about. Good. But the first parsha Bracious, so how does that work? Ve'avinam Babishlam Yehirakia Be'echad Detlasa Psukim Havel Bracious Bishnayim Chamisha Psukim Havel. So here we are now faced with a very similar challenge of having five psukim, having to break it up amongst two olim. Each ola needs three psukim. You can't leave off two psukim at the end. You can't leave less than two psukim at the beginning. A conundrum. So the Gemara says, "Vitanya akare b'tor lo yivchos mishosha psukim." So and you can't leave off less than three psukim. Okay. V'itmar la. So on the Ma'amado, so all this should sound familiar. We did all this in Masechta Tanis. So we had two solutions to the problem. The problem is very clear. Two solutions. Number one, Rav Amar Doleg, Gushmul Amar Posek. So solution number one belongs to Rav. Rav says Doleg, which basically is a repeat of Pasuk. So in other words, the first Ola will read Psukim numbers 1, 2, and 3. And the second Ola will read Psukim 3, 4, and 5. Okay, and the third Pasuk will just simply be repeated between the two Olas. That is Rav's solution. And that is what's called Doleg. Doleg literally means to skip. But over here, it doesn't mean skip, it means jump back. Okay. Meaning, yes, we're skipping, but we're skipping backwards. Shmuel Amar Posek, Shmuel's solution is we're going to take a pasuk, we're going to break it into two. Take that third pasuk and just break it in half. And half of it will be read by the first ola, and the second half will be read by the second ola. Rav Amar Dolag my Tamal Amar Posek, Kasavar Kol Psuka Dola Paske Moshe Anan La Paske Nalei. So Rav says, the reason why I don't like Shmuel's solution is because you're not allowed to break up psukim. In other words, we have a Mesorah. We learned at the beginning of our Masechta that the Piskei Ta'amim, that the way that the psukim are broken up, that's also part of our Mesorah. And we have a Mesorah of where the Sof psukim belong. And as a result of that, we don't have the ability to go ahead and to break up the psukim into two different psukim. Ushmul Amar Paskin Alei. Now Shmuel will say, no, I think he can. Now why? Meaning the Shmuel arguing with the fundamental principle. Gemara says not necessarily. He doesn't argue fundamentally. It's just that practically he argues. How does that work? Vaha Amar Rabbi Chanina Kara. Rabbi Chanina, presumably he was a Bal Kore, he was a teacher of Mikra. So Tzargado Hayolo, it's a Rabbi Chanina Gadol. So there was a contentious exchange between him and Rabbi Chanina Gadov. Because what he wanted to do is he wanted to teach. However, some of these psukim in the Torah are really large, and he's teaching children, and it's much easier to break it up. So he asked a shaila, can I break up the psukim into smaller bite-sized pieces so that the children can learn? And it was a little bit of a back and forth. The Gemara doesn't give us all the tension, but there was tension. And so finally he said, okay, for the children you could do it, but that's it. You can't do it for anybody else. So, ho'uli hislamid asuyin. But I understand over here it's for the purposes of education. So for the purposes of education, so yes, you can break it up. So hazam tamam mishum delo afshar. So the Gemara says, okay, so what do you see over here? You see that as a basic rule, you got to keep the psukim faithful to the misorah of sof pasuk. However, there can be exceptions, like children. Why? Because there's no alternative. So hachanami lo afshar. So over here, we'll say the same thing. Meaning, I'm not arguing fundamentally. Fundamentally, you got to keep the Mesorah. However, if it's a time of need, so circumstantially, one can break up the psukim where they're not normally broken up. Ushmul amar posik my tam alar amar doleg. Now we have a somewhat better understanding of why Shmuel over here allows you to break up the pasuk. Why doesn't he like the solution of Rav? Why not just simply repeat a pasuk? So, because here's what's going to happen if you go ahead and repeat that third pasuk. What's going to happen is that people are going to come to shul. Now, I know this is funny, by the way, because we are here talking about the ma'amados, meaning this is a select group of Jewish people who are specifically going out of the way to do this to represent the rest of the Jewish people. They're going to be leaving shul early. I guess the answer is maybe. Okay. But anyway, what's going to happen now is that after the first Ola reads three psukim, so someone's going to leave shul early and going over the laning in his head, oh, wait a second, that only leaves two psukim left. And now he's going to be totally confused. How is it possible? And so we are worried about the yotzim, those who leave early, and the same thing is true regarding the nechnasim, those who come to shul late. Meaning when they come to shul and they hear the second Ola start from pasuk number three, they're going to try to figure out, oh, what does that mean? The first Ola read just two psukim? How can that be? So, in other words, so you're worried about the people leaving early and the people leaving late. And the people entering late. Meisve, the Gemara is going to be challenging. So, what did we just see over here? A machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in terms of how to solve for the, not for the Rosh Chodesh dilemma, but for a similar dilemma, and that is of the Ma'amados. Meisve. The Gemara is going to be challenging. Parsha Shoshish Psukim Koronos, Abishnaim Vishal Chamish Psukim Biyachti. So, if I have a Parsha of six Psukim, you can break that up into two Aliyahs. Five Psukim, one Ola. Karisho Shosha, Sheni Karishnaim. If the first Ola read three Psukim, he shouldn't have done that. Meaning, if the Parsha were five Psukim, he should have read the whole Parsha. But he stopped after three. So now what does the second Ola do? Sheni Karishnaim, Mi Parsha Zu, Ve'echan Mi Parsha Acheres. So I'll read two from this parsha and one from the next parsha. V'yesharmim shoshal lefi she'matchil leparsha pochus mishosha psukim. And the Yesharmim says no. The second ola will read two psukim of the end of that first parsha, and then for the second parsha, I'll read three psukim because you can't leave less than three psukim at the beginning of a parsha. Now v'imisa lamandar medole nidlog lamandar meposek nifsok. So the Gemara says I don't understand. Now this question really is much stronger for the position of doleg. Then it is a question against the one who says paskinan. Because over here, it already happened. It seems like it's already too... Meaning, when Shmuel says break up a pasuk, that's obviously if you anticipate and then you decide to break up the pasuk. In this particular case, so there was the first Ola stopped after three pesukim. So it seems to be, and Rashi makes this point, it seems to be that this question is more concentrated on the one who said doleg. Regardless, the point, however, is that we have solutions to the problem of five pesukim. So why not just simply repeat a pasuk according to Rav? Why not break up a pasuk into two according to Shmuel? So Shani Hasim Dav Shabahachi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but over here, we're not talking about a specific laning. We're talking about just laning in general. And laning in general, when you have a five pasuk parsha, so in general, so the Ola should be reading the entire parsha. He stopped after three. So now we're talking about various solutions when there is more pesukim that you can read. Our dilemma is stemming from the fact that there's a limited number of pesukim. In the Ma'amados, it's 5 and 3. In Rosh Chodesh, it's 8, 2, and 5. So now that we have a limited number of pesukim, so now we need either the solution of Rav or that of Shmuel. Amar Bitanchon and Amar Yishu Malevi Alachi Kiyei Shomim. Now, vis-a-vis what we just saw together, where on a parsha of five pesukim, the first Ola read three. What does the second person do? So he doesn't do 2 and 1. That's the Tanakama. He does 2 and 3 of the next parsha. And the Gemara says that's the halacha like the Yeshomim. V'amar Rabbi Tanchon Amar Rav Yishua Ben Levi Kishem Shein Matchilim beParsha Pachos Mi Gemal Pesukim Kach Ein Mishairin beParsha Pachos Mi Shosha Pesukim. It's true at the beginning of the parsha. It's also true at the end of the parsha. At the end of a parsha, at the beginning of the parsha, you can't do less than three. At the end of the parsha, so you don't leave less than three. Meaning three both. Three is a minimum number for both the beginning and the end of a parsha, pshita. So the Gemara says, that's obvious, meaning the Gemara is not bothered by the conclusion. The Gemara just simply says, you didn't even have to tell me that. I knew that already. Pshita. Look, at the beginning, we had a debate between the Tanakama and the Yeshomrim. And the Tanakama was Meko. Shir de Machmir Tanakama. Now, in terms of leaving over three psukim, where I know the Tanakama is opposed to that idea, so lo koshken the machmir yeshomrim. So for sure the yeshomrim would be machmir over there. Okay, so in other words, we could have figured it out that when it comes to leaving off three pesukim at the end, everybody wouldn't be in agreement to that. So the Gemara says mau teima nechnasim shchichim yotzim lo shchichi. Look, people coming in late to shul, that happens frequently. People leaving in the middle of laning, it's not as frequent. People wouldn't be that chutzpahdik to leave in the middle of laning. So a demancha sefer Torah v'nafke, where the sefer Torah is out and they're just going to be leaving. So I could have made an argument that I should be less concerned about people leaving early. So kamash malan. The Gemara says they're both of equal concerns. Okay. V'tanakama ma'ishna shiura delo. So now, as far as the Tanakama is concerned, so let me get this straight. So to leave anything less than three at the end of a parsha, unequivocally no. But then mishum yotzim, and why? Because again, I'm worried about people leaving early. And anyone who leaves early and sees anything less than three psukim at the end of a parsha, so he's going to walk out of shul. Now, right, add insult to injury. Number one, he already left shul early. And then on top of that, we're worried about his erroneous conclusion. There's only two psukim left in the parsha. And Aliyah's two psukim. So for that, the Gemara says the Tanakama is worried. So atchule namik zerim mishum enichnasim. So according to the Tanakama, so why not worry the same way for people coming in late? Meaning they came in late, and what are they going to see? They're going to see that you only read one pasuk at the beginning of a parsha. So why isn't the Tanakama worried about that? So Amri Mandai Yoshilu Yishayo. Because when you come in late to shul, so at least you're in shul now. So now you just saw them read one pasuk at the beginning of a parsha. That's really strange. Oh, but you know what? You're in shul, so you just simply ask the person next to you. Okay, so by the way, this person not only came in late to shul, but he's also talking in shul as well. Okay, perfect. So so at least for the Tanakama, we have made a svara. The Gemara presented to us a svara why he's more worried about people leaving early and their erroneous conclusion as opposed to the people coming in late. Yes, they will have an erroneous conclusion, but at least they can ask somebody to help clarify. That would be the svara for the Tanakama. Anyway, Shachle Rava Bered Rava Rav Yosef Hilchos Amai. Okay, good. So what's the halacha? Now, Rashi over here, really interesting. What the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here, they're asking the halacha regarding the ma'amados. Meaning, right now, we're having two discussions. They're really similar to one another. And that is that you have a limited number of psukim. You have a requisite number of aliyahs that you need to make. How do I solve for that problem? Okay, the limited resources. So how do I solve for that problem? So we started the discussion with Rosh Chodesh and how do I make that four aliyahs. And the Gemara ended off with, I'm not sure. I know there are two possible solutions, either Rav and Shmuel, but Rav and Shmuel weren't discussing Rosh Chodesh. They were discussing the Ma'amados. So the Gemara says, okay, so let me at least introduce you to Rav and Shmuel regarding the Ma'amados in terms of how to solve for that problem. Okay, so where did we leave ourselves off? We left ourselves off with, we went from Rosh Chodesh, unsolved, we went to Ma'amados, two possible solutions, and the Gemara now wants to know, what's the halacha? So I would have thought, doesn't matter what I think, but I would have thought that the Gemara is going back to Rosh Chodesh. Rashi says that the Gemara here is staying with the Ma'amados. I think it's a little bit strange, only because the Ma'amados, that's history. Meaning, unfortunately, without a Beis HaMikdash, we no longer have Ma'amados. But I guess, what from the Gemara's perspective, whatever we say regarding the Ma'amados, we'll just simply plug that into Rosh Chodesh. So anyway, so my shalach lehilchasa doleg ve'emsai dolgan. So he says, what we're going to do is we're going to repeat a pasuk. And who's going to repeat the pasuk? Emsai, the middle pasuk, is going to be repeated. Which is, by the way, probably the hint from Rashi's perspective in terms of why the Gemara is still talking about the Ma'amados. Because it says Emsai, which for Rosh Chodesh is not exactly right. It's not exactly Emsai. Anyway, so v'kachai, and this is what we're going to do. In other words, so what we'll do is that we'll have to repeat a pasuk. So with the limited resources, so we'll repeat a pasuk. So for the Ma'amados, so when you have a parsha of five psukim, the first parsha of the Torah, a five psukim, and you need to make two aliyahs out of it, so you just simply repeat the middle pasuk. Now for Rosh Chodesh, so we'll use a similar method, which is that of that first aliyah, that first parsha of eight psukim, we're going to make three aliyahs out of it. So how are we going to make three aliyahs out of eight psukim? And the answer is very simple. We're going to repeat a pasuk. So now the eight psukim now have turned into nine psukim because we repeated it, and that's how you're going to make a, that's how you'll make a three aliyahs out of that first parsha. Okay, just to be, I know we all know this, but including that third aliyah is also going to be the Shabbos as well, the two psukim of Shabbos. But regardless, so the point is that we're now able to make three aliyahs out of those eight psukim, and then of course the last aliyah is going to be Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Is it ever the case where we're laning less than 10 psukim? Meaning, I'm really going back to yesterday's daf. It's a point that I didn't mention yesterday, which, you know, it's, as long as we're finishing up on this topic, I'll mention it right now. So the Gemara says that you need, every ola needs to have three psukim. We learned a whole bunch of rules this morning as well regarding how much we're going to be reading at the beginning of the parsha, at the end of the parsha. And we also learned in yesterday's daf that the total number of psukim for three aliyahs has to be 10 psukim. And where do I add the fourth pasuk of the three aliyahs? So if you remember yesterday's daf, it's all good. In other words, you could do it in the first aliyah, second aliyah, or third aliyah. Is there going to be ever an occasion where we're going to be doing three aliyahs and it's going to be less than 10 psukim? The answer is yes. Anyone know? It's great trivia. It's not trivia. It's yesterday's daf. Where we're only reading nine psukim. So that's going to be on Purim, the laning of Purim. I'm not talking about the Megillah. I'm talking about the actual Kriyas HaTorah. So what happens is that we read from the end of Bishalach, where the actual incident of Amalek, where we go to battle against Amalek. So how many psukim are there in total over there? Nine psukim. So Tosfos said yesterday's daf. So we're reading nine psukim. Yeah, aren't you supposed to read 10? So Tosfos writes, if you want, you could follow me. V'im tamar hare parshas Amalek deleik ala tisha psukim yishlam deshani parshas Amalek de sidra de yumahu umafsik inyana be. So look, and on one hand, we do want to read 10 psukim. On the other hand, the topic is finished. And this Tosfos is really better appreciated after we went through today's daf. Meaning, we're not going to add psukim from another section of the Chumash if it's not topical. If it's not thematically on point for today, we're just not going to add psukim. So over here, so Tosfos says, so the parsha of Amalek at the end of Parshas Bishalach, right? That's next week already. We're reading in Shul. So we're just going to read nine psukim, and each ola obviously is going to get three psukim. In fact, Tosfos points out that in tomorrow's daf, on Chav Gimel, so we're going to see that the Haftorah needs 21 psukim. So you're going to notice a lot of Haftorahs that are less than 21 psukim. Right? The Shiva de Nechemta are great examples of really short Haftorahs that are less than 21 psukim. So again, once you're done with a particular theme, once you're done with a particular topic, that's it. You don't have to add psukim. Okay. Continuing now in our Gemara. We're in Chav Beis Amud Aleph. We are about two-thirds of the way down more. It's the first medium-sized line. Okay, so in our Mishnah, we got pretty clear instructions of how many aliyahs we are on most times that we're leaning from the Torah. Monday, Thursday, Shabbos afternoon, 3. Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed, 4. Yontav, 5. Yom Kippur, 6. Shabbos, 7. Okay, but notably absent in the Mishnah is going to be Tanit Tzibur, public fast day, where we're going to be leaning from the Torah in that day. So how many aliyahs on a public fast day? Oh, such a good question. Gemara's question. So, big comma. So, Rosh Chodesh HaMoed Dika Karban Mosav Arba. So, maybe the cause of addition for Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed is the fact that there is a Karban Mosav. That's why there's an extra aliyah that's added. Avahacha Deleka Karban Mosav Lo. But obviously, on a public fast day, there's no Karban Mosav. So, maybe it's aliyahs are 3. Odil Mahachanami Ika Mosav Tefila. On the other hand, there is an addition. And that is, there's extra davening on a fast day. Now, extra davening is what? So Rashi says over here, Anenu. Meaning in the Shemoneh Esrei, we're adding a paragraph of Anenu. And so therefore, there is a Musaf, not in the classic sense of carbon, but there is in the very literal sense of there's extra, there's more. So Tashma, Bereshit Chodesh, V'chol HaShemoed, Koron Arba, HaBetan, Tzibur Gimel. So the Gemara is going to try to make a deek in the Mishnah. You know, the Mishnah does say that in Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh there's 4, which now deductively tells us that Tanit Tzibur 3. The Gemara says, "Hey, Mareisha, B'Sheni V'Chamish, B'Shabbos, Min Mincha, Karin Gimel, Ha Tanit Tzibur Arba." Yeah, but so what? So I'll go back to the first line of the Mishnah where it says that, you know, on a Monday and Thursday and Shabbos afternoon there's 3. But Tanit Tzibur, that's got to be 4. So Ela Mehalek Ela Mishma Mina. So there are offsetting deductions of the Mishnah. So let's just move along. Tashma, the Rav Ikla Labava B'Tanit Tzibur. Rav goes above on Tanit Tzibur. So we get a lot of this over here in Seder Moed. Not a lot, I'm overstating it. But on a number of occasions, Rav goes to Shul in Bavel. Remember, Rav started his life off in Eretz Yisrael and then made the move from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And even though it's the same, it's the same Torah, it's the same, there were just certain minhagim that took him by surprise as he came to Bavel. So on Rosh Chodesh, so for him, it was the strangest thing. Meaning he went to Shul in Bavel in Rosh Chodesh and they were saying Halal. And he didn't know what was going on. What are they doing? We don't say Halal in Rosh Chodesh. And meanwhile, they said Halal in Rosh Chodesh. Okay, we still do that to the very day, but it's a minhag. It's not a mitzvah to say Halal in Rosh Chodesh. Hence, we skip paragraphs. Whether or not we say a bracha is subject to Machlokas Rishonim. We've gone over that numerous times in the past. Anyway. So here we have now Rav visiting his first minyan of a fast day in Bavel. And so a lot of oddities. Not a lot. Again, I'm overstating it. A couple of oddities. So Kamkra b'sifra pasach baruch hasim velo baruch. So he got an aliyah. Now right now we don't know which aliyah he got. We're going to speculate in just a moment. But he made the bracha rishona. He did not make the bracha acharona. Right? And nafakule ama an payu, v'rav lo nafal al ape. And everyone then said tachanun, he didn't say tachanun. On a fast day, on a public fast day. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Michte. So on the tachanun, we're going to come back to a little bit later on. Right now we're focusing on the laning. So Rav Yisrael Kara, so presumably which aliyah did he get? He got the third aliyah. Now the Gemara is really going to struggle with that proposal. But right now, let's go with the Gemara. He got the third aliyah. So my time, chasam v'lo barich, lamishum debay lemikra achrina basrei. So the reason why he make a bracha acharona is because he's expecting another ola to come up. Oh. The Gemara says what? Lo, Rav Bakani Kara. So first of all, you're wrong. Rav didn't get the third aliyah. Rav got the first aliyah. He got kohen. Now it's a little bit strange because Rav wasn't a kohen, but the Rav Huna kare b'kahane. You know, Rav Huna always got kohen. Okay, so in other words, Kohen is the first aliyah. So we give to the Kohen because we have a mitzvah to be mechabit Kohanim. Good, and that's what we do. But there's also a mitzvah to be mechabit a Talmud Chacham. So if you have a significant Talmud Chacham, so you'll give the first aliyah to a Talmud Chacham, to a not to any Talmid Chacham, but to someone who is not only a Talmid Chacham, but is a publicly accepted, right, call him a Gadol Hador, but in other words, but everyone acknowledges the fact that he is a Talmid Chacham. So the, and they did that to Rav Huna all the time. He always got the Kohen Aliyah, the first Aliyah. So Bishlam Rav Huna Kari Bekahane, Dehafila Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Dekane Chashi Vadari, So Mechav Chayfalu Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I understand why Rav Huna got Kohen, because even the Kohanim, who were Talmid Chachamim, so they acknowledged the fact that Rav Huna was even a bigger Talmid Chacham than them, than they were. So the Gemara says, so that I understand. But Ella Rav, Ha'ika Shmuel, Dekahanu Hu V'davar Aleha. So, but on the other hand, Rav, although he was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, but you had Shmuel, who was not only a tremendous Talmid Chacham, but Rav yielded to Shmuel. Additional to that, Shmuel himself was a Kohen, so you wouldn't automatically give Rav the Kohen slot. So Shmuel Nami Kaif Hava Kaif Elei L'Rav. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. In other words, factually, it's not true. Shmuel was... Shmuel acknowledged that Rav was a bigger Talmid Chacham, and v'Rav Huda avile kavod v'chiyavile b'fanav shlo b'fanav lo avile. And it just happens to be that Rav, who by the way came from Eretz Yisrael and he came to Bavel, so when he was in Shmuel's presence, so he would yield to Shmuel, not because Shmuel was a bigger Talmid Chacham, simply because Rav was giving kavod over to Shmuel. But the truth of the matter is, in terms of their stature, so Rav really was number one and Shmuel was number two. So therefore, Rav got. And how these rankings were done, by the way, I can't really explain to you. I cannot articulate how it's done. But anyway, so therefore, when Rav was in the presence of Shmuel, so Rav yielded to Shmuel. But if Rav was not in the presence of Shmuel, so Rav was the undisputed number one Talmid Chacham, and therefore he got the Kohen slot. So Hachinami Mestab de Rav Bekane Kara. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, it really makes the most sense, because here's what we know. We know he made the bracha Rishona, he did not make the bracha Achrona. Doesn't it make the most sense that he got the first Aliyah? The Isaac Adacha B'Yisrael Kara Lefana My Time and Baruch. Because look, in your original proposal that he got the third Aliyah, that's really strange. He got the third Aliyah and he's now making a bracha Rishona, not a bracha Achrona. Like that doesn't make any sense. It really does make a lot more sense that he got the first Aliyah. So the Gemara says La'achar Takana. So correct. So the Gemara says La'achar Takana. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's after the Takana. The Gemara says Yach La'achar Namin L'Nevarich. What do you mean if it's after the Takana, meaning where we started our daf today? That Ha'idna, that nowadays, every Ola makes a bracha before and after. So the Gemara says, if it's after the Takana, so then he should have made a bracha before and after. He only made a bracha before, not after. So the Gemara says, Shani Hecha Diyasev Rav Demai Aile and Mefik Lo Nafke. So the Gemara says, well, what you can argue is it's after the Takana, but in Rav Shul, no one would dare leave early. Okay. So therefore, we don't worry about the people leaving early because no one would do so in Rav Shul. People would come late, but no one would leave early. Okay. Okay. So where are we right now? So we are asking the question in terms of what is done on the Tanit Zibor. So we thought that we could try to intuit based on what we knew regarding Rav. We were given really precious little information regarding Rav. All we know is that he got an Aliyah in Shul on the Tanit Zibor. We don't even know which Aliyah he got. In other words, he could have gotten the first Aliyah, he could have gotten the third Aliyah, but at least we thought that maybe we could piece together a puzzle where he made the first bracha, he didn't make the last bracha. Maybe he got the third Aliyah, so that means that he didn't make the last bracha because he's expecting another Ola. Anyway, the whole argument fell apart because we don't even know which Aliyah he got. And the truth of the matter is it's even more mistaber to say that he got the first Aliyah. So at that point in time, this story doesn't help us at all in terms of our question. What do you do on a fast day? Are you making three aliyahs or four aliyahs? Tashma. So we are on the top of Chav Beis Amud Beis, and we're trying to ascertain. So Zaklal. So here in the Breisa, so we have a rule. Kol sheyesh bo bita malach la'am kigon tanit zibor v'tisha b'av karin gimel. If people have to go to work, so then you have three aliyahs. Because again, that fourth aliyah would be more time in shul, less time away from work. And obviously the significance of work. And v'she'ein bo bita malach la'am kigon rosh chodesh v'chol shemoi korin dalet. Ah, but if people don't need to go to work as much, if the pressure of work is not that great, so then four aliyahs, rosh chodesh v'chol shemoi, so the pressure of working is less. Now, I know that's interesting, and we're going to come back to that point in just a moment. So shma mina. But the Gemara says, okay, so what happens over here? So what happens over here is that when the pressure of work is great, like, so here in the Braisa, the example is really clear. The Braisa gives Tanit Sibor as an example of people go to work on a Tanit Sibor. Okay, so it means now that on a Tanit Sibor, it's going to be 3 aliyahs, not 4 aliyahs. Okay, so at least now we have answered our question, how many aliyahs are there on a fast day, on a public fast day, and the correct number is 3. Okay, now, incidentally, we just said a lot of interesting things over here, and let's just, for a moment, a minute, go over some of the interesting things that we said. First of all, at Tanit Sibor, so there's pressure to go to work. That means you work on a fast day, and not just on a fast day, but on a public fast day. And by the way, one of those public fast days is also called Tisha B'Av. Aren't we dissuaded from going to work on Tisha B'Av? So Rashi over here points out, there were communities that had a minhag not to work on Tisha B'Av. Remember the fourth parak of Pesachim, where we went over this in some detail. Also back in Tanis, we talked about this a little bit. But there is a minhag not to work on Tisha B'Av. But that's a minhag. That's not a halacha. And so therefore, there is pressure to work on a public fast day. So that already is one interesting thing. But the other interesting thing is Rosh Chodesh, meaning on Chol HaMoed, there's less pressure to work. Now that we understand, right, I'll speak it out. So on Rosh Chodesh, so there is malacha that can be done, but that's only by Davar HaAved. That's only if we're talking about loss. Okay, and the definition of loss when we get to Moed Katan. So we're going to be talking about that in detail in terms of what is considered loss. But if there is if there's a Davar HaAved, so you're allowed to work. But obviously the pressure to work on Chol HaMoed is smaller, it's minimized. There's also less pressure to work on Rosh Chodesh as well. The Gemara says in Beferish, what is the Gemara talking about when it says there's less pressure to work on Rosh Chodesh? So over here, again, just an unbelievable confluence. Today happens to also be Rosh Chodesh. So Rashi writes as follows. Ein bo bitul malacha kol kach she'ein anashim osos malachas behem. So Rashi over here quotes. Now I'll say famously because everybody knows it. It's this Rashi right here that teaches us this idea that women don't work on Rosh Chodesh. Now, I don't know what the Gemara, there's no Gemara that says it straight out. In a moment, I'll share with you the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that we did not so long ago. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah alludes to it, but it's an allusion. It's not really clear from the Gemara. But anyway, She'ena Nasha Moses Malachas Mem Ba'achinam Me'aminim Me'meseches Rosh Hashanah Gabim Masuras Mishum Bitum Malacha La'am Shnei Yamim. And there is a reference to it in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Now, I did go over this morning the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, just for my own edification. It would take way too long to go over the entire Gemara. It's a question of how do I light the fires to let the Bnei Bavel know which day Beis Din made Rosh Chodesh, whether it was the 30th or 31st day of the previous month. And so back in the day where they did have fast speed communication with the lighting of the fire from mountaintop to mountaintop, so which night would they do it? Would they do it the night after the 29th or the night after the 30th? Anyway, other way around, the night of the 30th or the night of the 31st. But anyway, what comes out over there from that Gemara is that, and now I'm really reducing the Gemara and I'm just oversimplifying it, is that one of the considerations in terms of which night to light is going to be that we don't want people to have to not work for 2 days. Now, what was the Gemara making reference to over there? It's really not perfectly clear. A simple way to explain the Gemara over there is that it's talking about Rosh Hashanah. However, there is over there an alternative way to understand the Gemara. It's not talking about Rosh Hashanah, it's talking about every Rosh Chodesh. Because on Rosh Chodesh, people don't work. Now, when we say people don't work, who doesn't work on Rosh Chodesh? There's no Issur Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So that's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying, but again, it's only an allusion over there in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. It's not straight out in that Gemara, but at least you could interpret the Gemara to mean on Rosh Chodesh, people don't work. Okay, and why were women given the luxury of not having to work on Rosh Chodesh? Because they didn't contribute to the Egel Azav. Okay, so now, this is where the Darshanim come in. This is where I don't come in. But the now connections between the Egel Azav and their refusal to give and participate, and the Egel Azav and therefore they're given a vacation now every Rosh Chodesh as a result of that. What's the connection between the two? So, good. So I'll leave it for the Darshanim to tell you what the connections are. Anyway, so that is a minug. I don't see it practiced much to this very day. Okay. But anyway, that comes up in our Gemara over here. As the Gemara said that there's less pressure to work on on Rosh Chodesh. And my chavrusa, my chavrusa this morning was terribly bothered by your question. I was bothered less by my question, but you'll be happy to know that he also did not understand. So women are off, but meanwhile, men are the ones going to. He was bothered by the same question as well. Men are the ones going to shul, so, and they work and they have the pressure to work. Okay, good. He was bothered by the same question.
The men are learning and the women are working.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. Let's see. Okay, fine. I'm Rav Ashi, but let's go a little bit further. Good. Let's go a little bit further in our Gemara today. I'm Rav Ashi. V'hanan lo tanan hachi zaklal kol yom sheish b'musaf ve'inu yom tov karin arba'a. So let's take a look. Our Mishnah said that this is a rule. Any day there's musaf, and it's not our Mishnah, it's a brisa, but still, the brisa says that any day where there's a musaf and eino yom tov, so in other words, I need a musaf, but if it's not a yantov, so then I read four. Lasui emai, lav lasui tanit sibra v'tish abav. So the Gemara says, so presumably it's coming to include even tanit sibra and tish abav. So you see, right, so now it comes out that the implication would be that there would be
what does it say? It's Rosh Chodesh. Why is it
for
because it's their name.
Yeah. So the Gemara is understanding right now. The Gemara is understanding now, sorry. The Gemara is understanding now that Musaf over here does not mean carbon Musaf. Musaf over here just simply means additional. There's something additional. So presumably what the Mishnah is coming to include over here is Tanit Sibra and Tisha B'Av, where, once again, there is Musaf, not in the sense of carbon, but in the sense of extra tefila, specifically Anenu. Ula Rav Ashi Masin Samani Lo Tanakama V'Lo Rabbi Yossi D'Tanya. So the Gemara says, okay, but then what? Then our Mishnah is not going like the Tanakama, nor like Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara goes on to explain. Chalios B'Shin V'Chamisha Korin Gimel U'Maftir Echad B'Shlishi U'V'Revi'i Kori Echad U'Maftir Echad. So what's your laning going to look like on a Tanit Sibur? So if the Tanit Sibur falls out on either a Monday or on a Thursday, so you read three, and there's going to be a Haftar as well. If it's going to be on a Tuesday or Wednesday, so you read one Aliyah. I know that sounds strange. You read one Aliyah and then with Maftir. And Rav Yossi Amar Lolam Karim Gimel Maftir Echad. And Rav Yossi says, no, it's always going to be three Aliyahs. Anyway, what comes out from this Brisa is really clear. Although there is a debate in terms of on Tuesday and Wednesday, how many Aliyahs there are, but nobody ever entertains for a moment that on a fast day you're reading more than three Aliyahs. So Ve'ela Kashya Zakla. So the Gemara says, look, we know. We know that on a fast day you read three Aliyahs. So then what about the Brisa that we quoted just moments earlier? So Lo Lasui Rosh Chodesh Moed, Habeheja Katani. I'm sorry. So Zakla, Lo Lasui Rosh Chodesh Moed. So what it's coming to include is Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. The Gemara says, HaBeHeja Ketani La, B'Rashi Chadash HaMoed Karin Arba. So what do you mean it's coming to include those days? That's explicitly mentioned in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Simana Ba'ama Yaiv, Delo Tema, Yonta V'Chol HaShemoed Ki Adad Eininu. Ela Nekot HaKlala B'Yadecha, Kol Detfei Le Milsa B'Chavre, Tafre Le Gavre Yaseira. So what the Braisa wanted to educate us and teach us is that, look, here's what you're not going to say. You're not going to say that Chol HaMoed should be equivalent to Yontif, where Yontif you have five and Chol HaMoed you have five. No. What the Braisa is there to teach us, even though it gives us a rule, but it gives us examples so that we understand the application of the rule, which is, and with every additional facet, so you're going to have an extra Aliyah. So Hilkach, Rosh Chodesh HaMoed, Deika, Karban Musaf, Karin Arba. So on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, where you have the Karban Musaf, so good. That's cause now for an additional Aliyah. That's four. B'yomtov da'asar ba'asiyas malacha chamisha. An yomtov now where you have also an isser malacha. So now make that five. B'yom ha'kippurim denesh kare shisha. Now in Yom Kippur, not only is there an isser asiyas malacha, but if you violate Yom Kippur, b'mezid, that's kares, that's six. Shabbos ikar isser skila shiva. And now Shabbos is concerned where b'mezid, not only is there kares, but with edim hasra'a, so there's going to also be misas based in. So now that's going to be seven. Okay, so with every additional facet, you're adding an extra aliyah. Okay, adkan. It takes us to the end of that section of the Gemara. Let's leave Tachanun over for tomorrow. Right, Rav going to Shul and him not saying Tachanun, which was another interesting oddity of Rav going to shul on a public fast day in Bavel. So that we'll start with that tomorrow. In the meantime, let's recap. Let's review our daf today. So coincidentally, today is Rosh Chodesh, and our discussion today revolved around the following. First, we established that even though Bizman HaMishnah, so only the first and the last Ola would be making a bracha. The first Ola would be making the bracha Rishona, and the last Ola would make making the bracha Achrona of Birchas HaTorah. But Bizmanenu, says the Gemara. So sometime in the Tekufa of the Amoraim, so they had every Ola making the bracha Rishona and Achrona. Why? Mimnei HaNechnasim, Mimnei Yotzim. Because of the erroneous conclusions that could come from people who are coming in late or leaving early. Then the Gemara said, when you have limited number of psukim, so how do you break up the aliyahs? And we're given the rules of how to break up aliyahs. And given the rules, so now we're stuck on Rosh Chodesh in terms of we have limited number of psukim, I need to break that up into four aliyahs. So that's a conundrum. Similarly with the ma'amados, where I have eight psukim, need to make that into three aliyahs. That's also going to be a conundrum. So as far as Ma'amad is concerned, Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. So what we did this morning is we learned that Machlok is regarding the Ma'amad is between Rav and Shmuel. We took that, we plugged it into Rosh Chodesh, and so the Gemara says the conclusion is Doleg, we repeat a Pasuk, in order to create that extra Aliyah necessary, both for the Ma'amados and for Rosh Chodesh as well. That's the Gemara's conclusion. All right, so we know that we either put that into practice or are going to put that into practice this morning. On a Tanit Sibor. So how many aliyahs are there? Not mentioned in the Mishnah. And the Gemara says that really you could argue it should be three aliyahs. You could also argue it should be four aliyahs. The Gemara's conclusion, as we're reviewing now to the top of Chav Beis Amud Beis, is that it's three aliyahs. Although there is some evidence to suggest it's four, but it's really three. The Gemara said on the top of Chav Beis Amud Beis that where there is more pressure to work, so you keep it down to three aliyahs. When there's less pressure to work, so you move it up to four aliyahs. So Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, less pressure to work. And so the Gemara made a really striking statement regarding Rosh Chodesh. There's less pressure to work. What does that mean? So we quoted the Rashi here. We quoted a little bit of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah as well, which would seem to indicate that there was some minug of people not working on Rosh Chodesh. But Rashi writes over here, the minug is that women didn't work on Rosh Chodesh. Okay. By the way, I looked it up this morning. You look at the Rashi and Tosos in Rosh Hashanah. So the way he says it is that people, I won't show it to you now. Anyway, he said people didn't work on Rosh Chodesh. Anyway, there's less pressure to work on Rosh Chodesh. That the Gemara says clearly. And finally, we went through a couple more brises on Chav Beis Amud Beis that would seem to indicate that on Tanit Sibor you should have four aliyahs, but the Gemara says no. That's not the right way to learn the brisa. The correct way to learn the brisa is that on a public fast day, it's three aliyahs. And the whole point of the brisa, and quite frankly our Mishnah, is that with every added facet of the day, when the day gives you like a new layer of Kedusha, so therefore you're going to be adding an aliyah. And that's how we go. We start with three aliyahs on a regular day. And then when you have a Karban Musaf, that's four. When you have Isser Malacha like Yom Tov, that's five. When now you have an Isser Karis like Yom Kippur, it's six. And when you have an Isser Skila like Shabbos, that'll be seven.